Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker, and I am excited about the show tonight. Last week, it was exciting. We have David Gerin, who talked about how we were born to succeed. And this week, we're going to be talking with Suave Walker, who is a motivational speaker, author, psychotherapist, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. Now, I want to alert you to the fact that August 12th and 13th, we will be in a retreat called Soul Retreat 2011, and the retreat will begin August 12th and 13th and be held at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel in Orlando. And you can find out more information by www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Suave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We'll be getting to you shortly. As I said, I'm your host. I'm an author and speaker, and I have authored three books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Second, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future, and Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I have a nonprofit organization called Against All Odds, as well as an entertainment company.
We're going to get right into the show tonight because we are going to be talking about relationships continuing. We've been talking about purpose for the last 2 months, and there's different levels and different layers of purpose and how people define their purpose. And a lot of people define their purpose and their goals and their dreams based on a relationship, who they're connected to, whether it be a spouse, or rather be someone they're dating or their children. But tonight we're going to talk about that dating scene. And one question in particular that we're going to work on today is, what does it mean when a man says no? Is no really no? It was no not now? Or is no let me get back to you? Suave Walker.
Wow. Well, you know how it is when, you know, a lot of us guys are sometimes trying to find ourselves, and we're trying to transition from that player mode and trying to find Miss Perfect. And so sometimes we have those struggles. So sometimes it may be, not right now, or I'm sort of spooked from some past experiences, or it may be something where just really, really undecided. And I'm going to say something that may shake some things up, but nevertheless, you know, Val, I'm just going to say it. But sometimes, you know, a lot of guys, sometimes they're out there doing their thing and constantly interacting and doing things, and they're trying to, sometimes as I talk to some of my associates and friends, just when we have our guy talk, a lot of the guys trying to make a decision which one they really want to settle down, and they start doing that so-called process of elimination. So in that process of elimination, the ones who are becoming eliminated are starting to get the no's.
Okay, so when that guy says, let me use me an example. I'm going to be devil's advocate tonight.
No problem.
Okay, we're dating, and everything is going along just fine. We mesh really well. We have good conversation. And then all of a sudden, I start feeling you withdrawing. And be like, honey, what's wrong? And you would say?
I would say,
well,
depending on the circumstances, I need some more information about
okay.
Only because what you see and what I see, we end up seeing two different things. Like you're seeing everything going good, and I'm seeing I want things to continue to go good like it is, but I also sometimes don't want that next step.
Okay.
So maybe some sabotage stuff going on, some stuff I may be internalizing. You know, so those, you know, if you give me a little more information. So, you know, you're seeing it going good, correct?
Yes. Say hypothetically, I'm saying I'm playing devil's advocate, and Shirley or any of our listeners that are listening in right now, if you want to do a role play while we have Suave Walker, you know, who is
definitely good role.
Yeah. Who is certified to do this. Actually, Suave, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and the things that you do, because you're also a life coach as well.
Yes, well, you know, a lot of times people talk about relationships and, you know, like something that people love to do. Well, I committed my life into life research and even study relationships. I did women's studies. I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. I have about 6 classes and a dissertation on a PhD in faith therapy. And so I've been throughout a lifetime, you know, being in many relationships. Not something I'm proud of, but I've done a lot of womanizing in the past and really, really did some things that was not right, but I spent maybe 8 years, 6 to 8 years, just doing research, meeting ladies, dating ladies, and just documenting how they behave, how they act, how they respond. I have a thing called it's not something tangible, but you know we have professional resumes. Well, I created a relationship resume, something you never write, because most people don't write down their relationships and how this and how to behave and what these people had to offer, what they didn't have to offer, their strengths and weaknesses. And so I started just really putting a lot of things together and seeing how males and females interact, and sometimes where a lot of guys aren't where they should be at a certain time in life, the ladies are when it comes to, you know, doing things. So I just really spent a whole lifetime into studying and living and breathing this subject dealing with relationships. So, again, I'm a psychotherapist. I practice every day. So it's not just something I'm just talking about. I practice and deal with families each and every day, couples. And so I'm hearing about it every day. So it's just not a random topic for me, but it's how I make my living and what I committed to, and that's my discipline. You don't have that many males who actually study marriage and family therapy. So, and again, I'm an author, life coach, and like Val say, the list goes on and on, because I love doing things when it comes to family and community.
Okay. Now, listening audience, the radio audience, this is why I had someone come on like Suave Walker that could really just be real, be transparent, and just, you know, get down to it and, you know, not have us guessing or wondering. So any questions that any of you listening would want to ask, and you can do it as hypothetically. You can give an anonymous name if you wish, because that's one of the good things about Hot Topics from the Soul. You can do that. So we will be mindful of you, whatever name you give or whatever question you ask, it is, you know, can be done anonymously. But okay, let's go back to the communication, what we were saying, Suave, is that, okay, we're in a relationship and everything seemingly is going along just fine and dandy from my perspective. And then all of a sudden I notice the withdrawing from you. And I say, baby, what's wrong? And you say, nothing. And I say, well, you want to talk about it? No, I don't want to talk about it. But you know that there's something going on. And then you say, I just need a couple of days to pull my thoughts together. Back up, a couple of days pass, and I reach out to you, and you say, I need some me time. I just can't do this relationship right now.
Good. Really good. You got your Nobel Peace Prize for that.
I can't hear you.
And I said you got your Nobel Peace Prize for that, because that was a very good one. And I think some of the times when ladies start to wake up and really be in tune with really what's going on, and you start to address those issues, now our back seems like it is against the wall. So we thought we can ride this thing out for a while. But so when you start basically implying that this needs to go to another level, or I need some true commitment, then it's like a fight or flight, you know. And so when we decide that we don't want to be in that relationship, or we feeling pressured, then it's like it's not you, it's me, or saying I'm really not ready for this commitment. You see how it's going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really start to really pay attention to it, you understand what I'm saying, Val?
Okay, so it's an unspoken thing that's going on in you, even though I'm not pressuring or saying anything about the relationship, you feel that that's going to the next level. Now, is it because you yourself may be going to that level where you're falling in love and don't want to fall in love, and therefore the backup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're starting to back up because, you know, again, a lot of times, who wants to feel that pain? You know, and sometimes I think where, you know, guys, I think sometimes we operate sometimes in a way that we detach. And then when we actually get attached, it's almost like, what do you call that? That speak, the bigger they are, harder they fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it takes men so much time to fall in love. But then I think that fear of falling in love and taking a fall emotionally when it don't go right. And I think a lot of us try to play it safe. And so we come up with some coping mechanisms, some strategies to try to avoid that commitment. So when you ask for that, that's like a real trigger word for us. And then we start experiencing all this anxiety, you know, nervous and saying, I need a couple of days to think. So in that process of those couple of days to think, we're trying to figure out a way, oh, man, she's figuring this thing out. What am I going to do? So instead of just gravitating to something that's very nurturing and empowering and loving and nurturing, sometimes we just flee. That's unfortunate, but I think sometimes a lot of guys talk, and so a lot of times when I try to create these conversations with some of my friends, and I'm like, oh, so that's what we're doing collectively, right? Well, you know, well, you're not going to tell them. So a lot of my friends always say, so why do you always tell them everything? I said, because I want to. And what's wrong with it? What's wrong with sharing? You know, it's too much division, so I'm going to share.
So what I'm hearing you say is that it's kind of like a code of ethics, or like a bond or a protective shield that a man takes when he pulls back, as opposed to opening himself up to embrace the situation. Or is it a fear that they have? Is it something that, you know, I'm trying to see where you're going with this. Is it something that they have a fear deep inside of, maybe from a past relationship? Or is it something where men are at today? Because, Val, I love this scenario that you gave, because it is so true to form in many of our lives that we get in these relationships and it's like, okay, when do we move past a certain stage, and you start to feel mm-hmm. the distance coming there. And so is it a fear, or is it just a code that men are following now?
Well, Shirley, I think to a certain degree, there is some code of ethics, both males and females. You know, Like I was writing something called a safe face pathology. It's, you know, I mean, it happens both with males and females, but as we deal with male issues, it could be both. But then it also, that third part where a lot of times, again, I'm not holding back and saying sometimes what it could be, but sometimes guys have teams. Are you guys familiar with the team?
No.
With the team?
Explain that. What is that?
Yeah, sure. Y'all want me to go there, Shirley?
Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay. Are you saying team?
Yeah.
T-E-A-M?
Yeah, team. You sure? You sure?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's why I have you here,
right,
so
then.
You can talk about this.
Okay. All right. You sure? All right. Now, a team. A lot of times, team, like guys sometimes have teams, and I'm just sharing because, you know, I know in the past I've done it. I remember, you know, I'm sure you're talking about the code of ethics, and I'm always,
yeah.
I violate those code of ethics because as you grow, as you mature, as you develop, you realize all that game playing is nonsense. So what happened is we have a team. Guys have teams, teams of ladies that they deal with, and they call it keep it in rotation. And a lot of times
okay.
we have teams. So when you have a team, you have so many people. You know, have a football team, you have a basketball team, you have a team. And what you do is, remember I was mentioning the process of elimination earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And so when
mm-hmm.
each person, if that guy is not really truly ready for a commitment, everything from externally, from what you're seeing, you say, man, we've been doing good for a while. What's the problem? But not knowing his other life of where he's having a team, and then once that person, or once he feels pressure, and that person's really starting to get in tune with themselves and realizing when this is going to go to the next level, and then they initiate that dialogue, which at that point, hey, trouble, let me give myself a couple of days to try to figure this out. And then what we do is you come back and you're trying to begin this conversation again, and then here's our way out. You know, start acting a little weird, or start saying it's not you, it's me, and started to find some way to sabotage what you have. So while you're sitting there, maybe focus on that individual is sometimes, the individual, I mean the guys, sometimes we have in a team, and so we sometimes don't feel as bad by finding some way to allow you to make that decision to say, you know what, since you're not ready, I'm going to move forward. And that's something that I've watched it my entire life, how guys would have teams. And we used to talk about it all the time. And I remember just watching it a whole lifetime. And you remember how y'all hear about, well, people have two lives or something like that? You hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is, you know, I talk about taboo issues and people feel a little uncomfortable, but I will talk about them. So why do you think sometimes when we hear about, oh, a father had a family on this side of town, a family on this side of town, those were, of course, his teams. However, he still had other women, excluding the two that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry to put it out there, fellas, but...
you know, when you first said team, and you talked about the code and everything, one of the things that I was raised with 10 brothers, so... and, you know, but the thing about it, too, is I've had relationships and everything, and they've had teams, okay? And so one of the things
mm-hmm.
that I hear and understand is that when they bring up, oh, they're feeling pressured, or, you know, I don't like pressure, is sometimes I honestly feel that a man may want, even if he has a team, he's still got that one special one, that he really
yes,
wants to keep
absolutely.
There because they're comfortable with that person and they know they can, quote, depend on that person. And they always want to have someone in their lives that they can be transparent with and be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
but yet and still want to maintain their status quo with their boys or in their own arena of having their team and being the, you know, the head man on the team or whatever you want to call it. But when I talk about a code and I ask the question about a code, I'm speaking in terms of, is it still, because I know in the past it used to be, but maybe it still is, where the fellows have a certain code. If you fall out of grace with your boys, then, or you, like you said, I'm sorry, fellas, for saying this, that you're breaking the, quote, code. Like, man, you can't, mm-hmm. you made a statement like they said, you can't, why do you tell everything? But you're past that. And is it something that some men never get past? Is it because of past
yeah.
relationships? Okay, that's
well, also.
Okay.
You're on point. And I think, you remember when I used to say that man and adult male? That
yeah.
man and adult male. A lot of times we as males don't have men in our life to say, listen, you know, I know when you're going to be at a certain stage in your life and it's about time you be, you know, you're having fun. But it's going to come a time that you're going to have to start doing right about people. You understand? And so what happens is a lot of times
mm-hmm.
there's no one that constantly reinforce that. No one's there. So that male figure, or should I say that man figure, is there to say, hey, you know, it's about time for you to stop this nonsense. A lot of guys just grow up as adult males. You get it? No one's sitting there. So it takes sometimes developmentally for us to finally catch on and get what we need to get, and then to stop the playing. I mean, for the life of me, I'm sitting there seeing people my age and older breaking their neck to always want to be out in the streets, trying to constantly seek a mate or constantly, I mean, just stay in the streets. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand, because I got burned out at an early age, and I as an individual, I understand that. But when is someone going to tell you, bruh, you know, aren't you tired? You know, aren't you tired of just hanging out? Tired of just being in the streets playing the same old game that you've been playing for the past 30 years? So,
wow.
And that's why I say sometimes developmentally we don't catch on, because we don't have that mentality. But see, Val, you know, a lot of the sisters, you guys constantly have organizations and resources to say, hey, sisters, let's support each other. Let's do this. But for the male, there's not that many organizations that say, hey, male, let's stand up. And that's why sometimes it's so difficult for the man is to honor a contract. You understand? Those commitments. You know, so when a man is not taught how to, a male is not taught how to honor a contract, then it's very difficult for that man or a male to honor a commitment. Because a commitment
what?
And contract... I'm sorry?
I said, well, you just said something there that I wanted to interject. You said a contract. When they enter into a contract, and that contract seems like so final that it
mm-hmm.
and that's where that fear comes in. It's like your emotional agreement or attachment to another individual. And it brings on about a fear that most
mm-hmm.
of the male species are not able or ready to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I right in my analogy?
I give you a pass.
Give me a pass.
I'm going to put it out there, so you know. Hey.
Yeah,
I see some hands up in the audience.
Said,
go ahead, Shirley.
Okay, to add to what Val just said, you know, about that contract, I think there's another part to it, and that other part, Ben, is that not only is the contract, you know, like final and everything, that maybe somewhere inside of them there is a fear of them living up to the requirement of the contract. Can they fulfill it? Can they really
now,
fulfill it?
You understand about fulfilling it, Shirley, is a difference. Again, men
and men.
Yes.
I mean, adult males and a man. Do you understand? There's, you know, so when you're sitting there,
yes,
the person
there is
of being able to feel it, what do you say?
Yes, there is a
I'm
difference.
Sorry.
There
yeah,
is
and I think
a difference. Yes.
And so I think, my queen, I think you, when it comes to that relationship resume, I think a lot of ladies have engaged with a lot of adult males, but not have a lot of experience with men. So sometimes the perception of generalizing y'all men, not clearly distinguishing the adult male from the man. And so you'll say, oh, y'all men afraid of commitment, y'all. And sometimes that male is afraid. And he don't know how to handle the contract or the commitment, so to speak.
Hmm. Well, we have some callers on the line that have their hands up. Caller with ending in 4242. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Yes, I
can
hear
you. Can
you
hear me?
Yes, I
okay,
can.
Okay, my question is, hello, doctor. My question is, now that we understand the teams that the men are on and the games that they play, where do the women who are looking for a serious relationship, what are we supposed to do at this point? How do we handle ourselves? How do we approach or how do we back away? Do we pretend that we want him to chase us? Do we just act as if we understand that they are playing this game and play along? What is the woman supposed to do at that point when we know now what it is he's doing? How do we handle ourselves?
Wow.
Hello?
Well,
how do we
did,
protect ourselves?
Now, I got to deal with my friends and my peers about disclosing all this stuff on one show. It's only in bits and pieces, but what's the caller? What's the numbers? It's the last four numbers?
4-2-4-2.
So I can identify
two.
With her. Well, I'm just going to answer a question. Okay. Okay. It's a book I wrote called Lust Child, and Chapter 10 is called The Nine Divine Personal Responsibility Characteristics. See, okay, I'm just going to just tell you something, young lady. You know, when a lot of guys, Val's mentioned that one person that the guy wants to open up and disclose all his deepest feelings and emotions and feel very comfortable with, a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
I forget, I'm going to say it, when we sometimes get the cookies very quickly, sometimes we may lose interest. And what happens is when we truly want to be with you and the cookies is not given, it all basically forces us, if we're interested in you, to hang around. So in the Ten Commandments of Intimacy that I wrote, it just deals with each level we're learning about how to be with you without engaging in any sexual activity with you. You understand? So what we do is, so you'll find out if we're truly into you or are we playing games. And a lot of times when we truly, you see, when we truly care and that care transition to love and then that love transition into requesting or commitment or a life partner or a wife, that happens naturally. But it doesn't happen that easily if it's some outside interference, and outside interference is sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hate to tell you, it's like, and I say it, and I'm going to say it, and I told you, Al, you know I am. You know, as we say man talk, we have our black man's dialogue, we said, bruh, she gave up the draws too quick. God darn, the sister was tight, she was sharp. She stimulated me intellectually, spiritually. Man, this is a good chick. And then next thing you know, you started wanting to, feel comfortable and start really enjoying this person, but you don't have to give sex to secure us. You don't. I think sometimes you're thinking sex is going to secure us, and sometimes it deters us, and we say, man, she didn't give it up. So now I because I could be any Joe Schmuck, and she did the same thing. But if she holds out, and so are we, although we're going to want the cookie, the more you don't give us a cookie, the more we're going to, you know, what do you call that, that conquering, just really want. And so as we're rationalizing, saying, I'm going to get this, you're forcing us to learn more about who you are as a woman, as a queen, and then we start to develop a lot more respect for you. And watch this. While you're like, man, he's doing everything for you, caring and talking about you, and he has yet to get any cookie. And next thing you know, yeah, that 2 years passed by, you get your ring, you're like, whoa, huh? Because you're not understanding. He learned who you are, and he has basically learned his 10 commandments of intimacy. And guess what? I'm not going to give you all the commandments, but the first one was physical. He was physically attracted to you, and the last one is sex, and that's normally consummation of a marriage or some type of commitment.
So I have a question. Since you've broken it down as such, what about if you've had a sexual relationship with the individual that you're dating, and then all of a sudden it stops, but you still communicate and you're still talking, but it just stops? Are they gay?
Something told me to address that issue. And again, in Guy Talk, Black Man Dialogue, why is a guy sexual orientation is always under assault when he happens to be responsible? Why
can't we win without losing? To break it down.
No, because I wouldn't say it's gay. That's why I wouldn't even consider it. Because, again, sometimes when we finally get our head out of our butt and we try to do right, there's always an orientation issue. Why can't he just say he's doing right? And so he's going to cover over his woman and say, you know what, I know she want to give it a draw, but what I'm going to do is not doing it. Yeah, I didn't hit it one time, but guess what? That wasn't right. And I'm not going to let my sexual drive take over my poor decision. So what I'm going to do is do right. But when we do right, again, like when guys are talking, when I told you we talking, like, cuz, she, you know, I'm not trying to give up the draws. I'm trying to stay in safe zone. And then she's trying to give the draw, and then here's that same question.
But actually, it's because that male is respecting
yes.
that woman, and they're trying to
exactly.
build a relationship because, okay,
yes.
they've already had a sexual
to...
encounter, and they know they're good,
yes.
they're good together. So now we know that part is secure, so let's deal with us emotionally and mentally. Let's stimulate
exactly.
each other that way.
So, yeah, sometimes guys get tired of female transient relationships as well.
Okay.
And I think, and again, I'm always, like I say, I have my Black Man's Dialogue. And ladies, yeah, like I say, it's a lot of organizations, a lot of radio talk, a lot of this. And a lot of times ladies hearing the same thing, but not really hearing how we're feeling and thinking. You know, and guys like, man, God darn, she gave up the draw. And we always say, bruh, I don't get the draw. And guess what? She going to ask me, am I gay? Because she asked you the same thing. Are you just playing any characteristics or download or any of that nonsense? But you just want to show a little respect so you exercise some discipline and some restraint. And, again, when we start talking about the 9 divine personal characteristics, and when I think about, like, for example, number 4, have an accountability partner. These people will not always agree with you, so don't expect them to. They will not agree with you on every issue or idea or perspective. But what they will be is that objective that need and a very, very critical point that may prevent you from doing something that you may regret later. Like I always say, one of the most painful experiences is the pain of regret. So sometimes having an accountability partner, when we talk about God, because, man, she calling me, dog, and we'll call each other. Cuz, don't give it up, bro. Don't give it up. All right, man, I'm going to stay focused. Let me get out of here. Yeah, get out of there, bro. So I know the blood is rushing, So guess what? Just get out of there right quick. And next thing you know, we get out of there, we can jump in the car. Whew, dog, thanks, bro. You called me right on time. Next thing you know, we have that conversation with lady. Let me ask you something. Yeah, what's going on, baby?
The other day, you and Gil were getting really heated, and all of a sudden you stopped. That's a little weird to me. Are you gay?
You know, and we talk about that. Like, are you serious? I got to be gay because I'm being respectful, and I decided to hold back. But guess what? How many times a lady has done that to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, stop. We don't question your orientation. We just say, okay, I respect that. We don't challenge your orientation. We don't say anything wrong. We don't say what's wrong with me. It's always like, okay. All right. I'll stop.
Okay.
But that
question has
become more and more universal.
Okay, thank you so much, 4242. Did that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I have another caller on the line, 5676. 5676, are you there?
Hi, Valerie. This is Ken. How are you?
Hi.
I just wanted to comment on what Suave was speaking on. I remember when I was in school, and I was a sports jock, you know, I pretty much had a lot of fun when it came to the dating scene. I'm sorry?
We're here.
But there was this one young lady that I was dating at one point, and no matter how persuasive I was trying to reach my objective with her, she always refused me. And, you know, when you're really young and you really don't know what things, you know, you should value, if you haven't had someone to teach you what you should value, you just do what comes natural, I guess, without any restraint. And so I remember one night we were down on the beach and I was with her and doing everything in my power that I knew to do. And she still refused me. And with tears in her eyes, she just said she couldn't do it. And I told her that night, I said, you know what, if you don't do it tonight, then I'm done with you. And she didn't do it. And I was done with her. And that's probably been about, I don't know, 30, 35 years ago. To this day, I try to find her because I want to apologize to her, because that is the kind of girl that a guy wants to take home.
Yes. Yes, Carl.
That is easy. Not the girl that you really want to take home. I'm saying this to women because I'm also trying to understand, you know, how women think and feel and what they mean by what they say or do. But for me, when it comes to what we should value in life, as men we should teach our sons, you know, the type of woman to look for. I was speaking even recently to a young lady. Now, I'm a believer. I believe in God, and I'm really trying to walk in the way that he has told us to be holy. So I am now on the opposite end of it. I'm where that young lady was years ago. And so I've been talking to this one young lady, and we've just been friends. We have, you know, did a little kissing here and there over time. But she was getting frustrated with me. And what she said to me is, I cannot believe that you toy with my emotions like you do. Why do you tease me? Now, from my perspective, I wasn't teasing. I was letting her know that I do have feelings for you. But from her perspective, I was leading her on. And so when we had that conversation, I said, well, you know, I told you that you know, I'm not just looking for somebody that goes to church. I'm looking for somebody that really loves God and wants to live like he wants them to live. So she tells me, she says, I cannot believe that I want to be intimate with you. And
wow.
That, refuse to be intimate with me. Now, you know, believe me, the flesh side of me, I definitely wants to get busy. I kid you not. But it's, you know, within the parameters of what I believe God would have me to do. And I mean, so now I'm on the other side of where I was years ago with the young lady, and the girl just refuses to talk to me. Now, which is fine with me. I didn't lose any sleep over it. But my point being that there are some men, however long it may take you to mature, that really want to do the right thing, not because we're gay, because of, trust me, there is not a gay bone in my body. You know, there is nothing that any man can do for me. You know, I love women with a passion, but, you know, sisters will, some of them will get very angry with you, and they will call you gay, as you said, or they will, you know, think whatever it is they want to think about you. But I'm just trying to do the right thing, and there are some guys in the world that would do that, and I just wanted to comment because both of those circumstances that Suave just mentioned actually are mine. You know, I've experienced those, both spectrums of those.
Well, I appreciate you giving a comment, caller. We always like to hear what the male species are thinking, and hopefully those ladies that are listening on the show tonight will take heart and take notes and replay the show and call your girlfriends and tell them to replay the show. All you have to do is go to the website, blogtalkradio.com/soul topics, and replay the show, or you can go to my website from thesoulofawoman.com, and it will remain on the main page until our next show, but you can always play the archives. So thank you so much, caller, for sharing that information. Suave?
Yes.
So you have some backup tonight that's backing up what you're saying. So a lot of times the drawback of engaging in sexual activities is basically saving both individuals from falling into a situation that they will regret later because of the fact that they didn't have the opportunity to learn more about that individual that they're with.
Absolutely. And you know, Val, even some of the previous shows that you had, you remember how, you know, again, when you have that so-called the virtues, the man who's going to be a man and be spiritually convicted, didn't we talk about how important it is for us to cover our women? And then when we finally get our head out, but since when we start doing it, our orientation is questioned. So now it's become that culture shock. Well, wait, what am I experiencing? But it's definitely not experiencing a responsible man. No, it's experiencing a man who happens to be gay. But reality is you're experiencing something that you're not accustomed to, and that happens to a man who wants to protect you and cover you and respect you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other listeners that want to give comment, you can press 1, put your hand up. I got a message wanting to know the spiritual augmentation of you guys. Are you saved? Can you speak on that, Suave? Or, you know, you're talking from a business perspective and not a Christian perspective, or are you talking from both?
Listen, it's not one person on planet Earth can spook me. Listen, for me, who was a devout Christian, and I know a lot of people are afraid to say it, but you know, Val, I call it like it is, straight shooter. I'm a straggler of the fencer, meaning I'm a devout Christian, but I struggle. I'm flawed. I make mistakes.
As we all
I do
are.
Things that may not be, huh?
As we all are.
Yeah, so what happens is me and my imperfections has nothing to do with me making saying if I'm saved or not. I'm just flawed. I'm going to make some mistakes, and I'm going to repent from them, and I'm going to not take it for granted, but I'm definitely going to, you know, that's why I would say you don't do better when you know better. You do better with the application of discipline. So sometimes, at times, I may not be as disciplined as I should be.
You know, what prompted
you know, and I know a lot of times people, you know, they got the role play
in a synagogue at the church. They got it on lock. But then you don't see anything reflective of anything when they're outside of that environment. Where I can say for me, I'm pretty consistent. While I'm whistling Dixie in the church, I'm whistling Dixie outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And as you see, this is an open audience. So I don't ever, even in the book Lust Child, I talk about my indiscretion. So I don't ever fear that anyone could judge me, because reality is I have a higher God who's going to sit there and give me my judgment based on my indiscretions and how I live my life, and I'm definitely very conscious of repenting. And I don't know if a lot of people are very conscious of that, but I definitely repent, but I don't take God for granted. So I hope that the person have their question answered.
Thank you. So one of the reasons that I was prompted to do this show was because, you know, as you know, Suave, I'm a life coach. So I have a lot of individuals,
yes,
male and female, calling me, and I think I'm a bootleg therapist. Because I'm functioning as a bootleg therapist, because, you know, one of the things I do is when I'm speaking to individuals, I allow God to speak through me. I listen to what he's saying, because God will always speak to you. Those of you that are in relationships or trying to get in one, or what, if you are a believer, the Lord, the Spirit of God, will lead and guide you into all truth. Because that's what his word said. He will guide you into all truth. And before you get into those indiscretions, you will hear and be troubled in your spirit to know that you're doing something wrong, that you're crossing the line. But a lot of times we cross that line. And then when you get caught up, you got a lot of brothers that get caught up with sisters, and then they feel bad after they've done had the indiscretions. And then they want to back up, and then they say, no, I really don't want this relationship. But because that sister is a sweet person and they don't want to hurt their feeling, they continue on even though they don't want it. But because they're between a rock and a hard place, they feel like they have to play that role of the partner to let them down easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, beginning that, people are grown folks, and people get over it, and allowing them to make a decision for themselves, if you're being honest and open and transparent. And I think a lot of times guys try to play that, instead of being that partner, try to play the father and say, hey, I'm going to make a decision for you, as opposed to being open and transparent and allowing that other grown folk to make their own decision.
Well, thank you so much for that. Any other questions or comments, you can put your hand up. Call a 5676. Call a 5676. Did you complete your comment? Okay, I guess he did. Okay. Yes, Shirley.
Okay. When you made the statement about sometimes that I lost my chain of thought, when you just talked about how when they need to complete certain things, I got a question for in a relationship, when a man gets to a point in the relationship that he wants to stop the team or eliminate the team. You talked earlier about the process of elimination. Is it to when it gets to a point where the code becomes old to them, the team becomes old to them, and they're ready to make that one-on-one commitment and everything, is that the point in the relationship when they pull back from everyone and they take time for themselves, or do they move forward and they just stop? Is it a process?
It's both, Shirley, because, again, when a lot of times when, I guess, we as guys finally get to the point where we reach our crossroads and we would decide to truly want to make a commitment, you do sometimes take out a little moment for yourself and then you still, I guess, interact or engage with the person after you, I guess, eliminate everyone else. You take that time out to say, is this person? And so a lot of times that is disclosing. You know, you say, okay, I did this, and you've been around, and then the guy sometimes just make a commitment because he start processing this person been through thick and thin, and then sometimes he decides to make that decision. But prior to making that decision, he's going to turn a lot of stuff because you got to understand, regardless of what we think about our lives, there are a lot of outside influences, you know, and as you see sometimes once he decides to get to the point that he wants to make that commitment, a lot of the times when that true commitment is made, sometimes the dynamics change. And I think that's sometimes God's biggest fear. When things, you know, what do you say, familiarity brings content? So now when you truly make that commitment, is this person going to change? And I think sometimes that little time out with ourselves start to really internalize, is this going to, you know, turn out in a way that I don't want to turn out.
So you're saying and that men have fears just like women?
I'm sorry?
So you're saying that men have fears just like women do?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of fears. We don't have all those social constructs that influence us, but we do have fears. It's like, you know, we cry. We have emotions. It's sometimes managed differently, but we still have emotions. Sometimes we sit there and say, yo, you don't care? And I'm like, listen, I care. No, you don't. Y'all men don't have emotions. I'm telling you, I do, and I'm verbalizing. You know, so men do have fears. They have emotions. We care. We just, you know, different in how we handle our emotions and our feelings and thoughts.
Okay.
And that goes back to that saying that men cry in the dark because they do not, you know, some men cry in daylight, but, you know, most men cry in the dark. It's more of an internal cry as opposed to an external.
Yeah. We get out crying. I think I'm going to get me one in tonight. In fact, I think today is Tuesday. I'm scheduled for one.
Is that a cry because you messed up or a cry because you're alone?
No, I love myself so mean. That has never been an issue. I'm crying because, you see, the stressors, those stresses. So what I do is how I deal with my stresses, I let them cry out. Like, for example, I'm dealing with an order right now. Anyone know how stressful that is? So I don't have time to cry in the daytime, so I'm going to get it out tonight. I don't have to be full holding it in, you know, seeing the client. Because remember now, I have to deal with these families. I have to deal with these couples. I have to deal with. So I can't sit there, so I got to get it out. Okay. So I'm going to get it out tonight. Yeah, today's Tuesday. I was guessing. In fact, on God's truth, if God can tell you, he tell you, yes, well, I was scheduled for a cry tonight. Because I did mention it today. I mean, that's on God's truth. Yeah, I had to get one out tonight because it's stressful.
Well, the time has really passed us by. We have like 5 minutes left, and we have had some very good.
We've been on the phone 5 minutes.
We had some very good questions, and, you know, thank you, callers, for participating in when a man says no, when he says no, what does that no mean? What is he really saying? And when he says it, are we really listening, or are we just taking it to another level and, you know, acting as though we don't understand because of the hate, the hurt, and the disappointment that we don't want to feel ourselves. But know this, that if we don't release and let go, it could be more damaging and detrimental to us in the long run. No means no, just like when we say no, we mean no. So no is not always that it's a final thing, but no means stop. Don't continue to pursue. Back up, And that's what we won't allow to do because of the fact that, you know, we want love. We feel that we got to have it. And when that man backs up, we want to hold on and say, oh, no, I done invested too much time. I've cooked too many turkey dinners for you. I went to the movies. We went dancing. We went doing all this. And you want to redeem that time. But as I've said over and over on Hot Topics from the Soul, no man has the ability to buy back their past, which means you cannot buy back your time. So be mindful of the time that you spend and who you're spending it with. Count up the cost. As I said in the beginning of the show, we have a retreat coming up, August 12th and 13th, Soul Retreat 2011. And I'm telling you, it is an time of motivation, inspiration, and transformation. We have a signature rap session where we have the opportunity to talk and discuss things that are on the hearts. Because one of the things I know is that when you go to events, you don't want to spend your money and leave with the same baggage. I'm not telling you you're going to lose all your baggage because you took a lot of years putting it in there, packing those bags. But I will tell you this. You'll be able to peel back the layers, the onions, and be able to get to the core of your situation and how you can make it better. So I thank you for joining me, Suave Walker, motivational speaker, author, psychotherapist, and for sharing those secret things from the heart of a man. Any closing comments?
Well, my closing comment is for all the ladies and men out there. You cannot interpret no. No is in Japanese, maybe Creole, Spanish, and especially English. Don't interpret it. It's only two letters, and it don't sound like yes.
Wow. Shirley?
That is
Shirley.
You know, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Yes, we got one minute.
Okay, just want to say thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And, Suave, thank you so much for that wonderful message tonight. Val?
Yes, thank you so much, Shirley, for being my co-host, my backup, my road dog, my sidekick. And, Suave, again, thank you. And those of you that are on have listened to the show, replay it because you will get some valuable information. A lot of times you're listening, but you're not listening, and you're taking yourself there in that emotion or that space and time where that situation happened to you. But guess what? You survived it. And I look to see you back next week, the same time, 8 o'clock, on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Email me if you want to discuss a topic at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. And do visit the website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Good night and God bless.
Good night.